Welcome to the Marketing Pulpit. I am your host, Sharon Bennett, and I always say it because I truly mean it. So delighted that you decided to take time out of your day to join us here on the Marketing Pulpit. And my co-host, Therapist Ira Lake, is on the line with me today as well. Therapist, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be on the show again.
Oh, we're always happy to have you on the show because you have such a wealth of knowledge, and we're just so appreciative to have you here on the Marketing Pulpit. And today, we are going to be continuing our discussion on an awesome book that my co-host has written, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. That's right, written by my co-host therapist, Ira Lake. My other co-host, Consultant Herring, he will not be able to join us this morning, therapist, because he is taking an exam. So we wish him well on his exam today, Consultant Herring. But I do want to remind our listeners that you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit 5 days a week. That's right, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You can listen to the Marketing Pulpit. And we would love for you to join us Monday through Friday. On Monday, we have Dennis Shipman, who broadcasts from New York. And, of course, I hold it down here in North Carolina on Tuesdays. On Wednesday, Poncho Brown from Baltimore, Maryland, Dr. Griffin on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Ray Reznor, who takes care of business on Friday. That's right. You can listen to the Marketing Pulpit Monday through Friday. Well, you know what? Therapist, every time we do this show, it seems like when we start getting to the good part, we just run out of time. So we're going to dive right in today and start our discussion of Messed Up and Don't Even Know It. We're actually, therapist, on case study number 4. And for those of you who may be new to the show or who may be joining us, the Marketing Pulpit, our mission is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. And you're probably wondering, well, what does Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, childhood trauma, what does that have to do with business? Well, I am going to tell you what it has to do with business. We are doing our best to provide shows that will help companies, organizations, those who are wanting to start new businesses to be successful. We want you to increase your productivity. We want you to increase your revenue. And that is virtually impossible if your staff, if your CEOs, if your managers are not healthy. That can minimize and reduce your productivity. And, of course, therapists, you have your own opinion on why it's important for employees to not only be physically healthy but mentally healthy. And I'd like for you to share with us your thought on why this topic is so important and so critical to those who own businesses or who run businesses, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. Tell us your thoughts.
Well, actually, you articulated it quite well. there's so much. We always look at the bottom line, and we only look at it sometimes from a limited perspective. But the bottom line does not always mean more income, but it means more efficient. It could mean more efficiency, more effectiveness, a different approach, different methodologies that companies can use to maximize what they have, what they are offering. The greatest and the best resource any organization will ever have will be its employees, its people. Mm-hmm. And when the people, exactly, when its employees are not healthy, when they're not functioning at their best, even translating into dollars and cents. But you're talking about workplace morale. We're talking about teams meeting goals. We're also talking about the overall culture of a workplace. It all has to do with people and their emotional, mental, spiritual health. And that's just as important as meeting a sales goal or opening up a new office someplace else. That's more important. People are your greatest resource.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, if you hear something on the show that you would like to comment on or you have questions, feel free to dial in at 215-383-3872. That's right, 215-383-3872. 383-3872. Now, make sure you push option 1 because that puts you in the queue for questions. We love questions on the show, and we're definitely happy to answer any questions you may have, or if you just simply have a comment, feel free to dial in. Well, we're going to dive right in, therapist. I want to continue our discussion on case study number 4 from your book. And I tell you, I am so enjoying this book. And if you would like your copy, we'd like for you to have one. You can go to Amazon.com and purchase your copy, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing, written by therapist Ira Lake. And you can follow along with us because we don't go through everything, but we do try to highlight some of the important spots in the book. And therapists, we have been talking about case study number 4, Abraham, and we're not going to review a lot about what we've already discussed because our listeners, of course, can go to our archives at www.marketingpulpit.com. Go to radio shows, North Carolina, MPI North Carolina, and you can listen to our archives. You can also go to www.SharonBennettLive.com, and you can listen to the radio shows there as well. So, therapists, we've been talking about Jonathan. Now, I love it when you do reviews, but we wanted to just bring everybody up to speed as to where we are. We're not going to do a long review. Last week we talked about Jonathan and how his childhood trauma has affected his adult life. Just a little snippet of that review, if you don't mind. And then I have some questions that I want to ask in regards to the final portion of this case study.
Well, just a brief, Jonathan represents those of us or you out there listening who comes from a generation of abuse, meaning it goes back 2 or 3 generations. And in this case, Abraham's father, and now Abraham. That's what I mean by generational abuse. It's a cycle. And if it's not kept in check or dealt with, Abraham will pass it on to his, and it just keep going on generation to generation. So that was the interesting part about Abraham. And I had never really gotten that enmeshed with a generation of abuse, more than one family. And it's a lot to go through, unpack, but that was the standout about Abraham.
Well, you know what? I declare there is so much that we could discuss in regards to that generational abuse being passed down. But again, we had a discussion on that, therapist, in our archive show. So please, if you missed that, go back to our archive shows, www.marketingpulpit.com. You will find those shows. But moving forward, of course, Abraham had a huge challenge trying to figure out what was going on with him. And last week, therapist, we talked about how not only did he suffer in his personal life, but his professional life suffered as well because his issues started manifesting themselves at work.
Yes.
He started showing up late for work. It affected him. And according to your writing in the book, it really had its breaking point with Abraham. His professional life completely fell apart. And it's so sad because that happens so often with people who don't understand. And therapist, I do want you to touch a little bit on this point of how it is that people don't really recognize and understand that a lot of their issues stem from childhood trauma. Or as you mentioned before, it may not even be childhood trauma. It could be any type of trauma that has happened, and people don't realize that that's where their issues are coming from. How do you help people to realize that?
Well, we learn much, if not the majority, of our behavior in childhood. We learn conflict in childhood. We learn how to cope in childhood. And we take them from that point in our childhood and we master them so that when we become adults, we become experts at masking our pain, coping and hiding what has happened to us, and all the while we never really fully recognize and fulfill our potential. There are always telltale signs, and one just has to look or be wanting to be in a position to help and to look. You know, Abraham's case, he was showing up late and tardy. His work was suffering. And so what I have always believed was your workplace, your church life are reflections of your home life. I'll say that again. Your workplace life, your work life, your church life will always reflect your home life. And when one starts pulling the string on a tightly wet a webbed blanket, and you pull that string, and it unravels more and more until at last the very places that you go to for comfort, for your own self-worth, you have nothing. Your home is in shambles, your professional life is in shambles, and in your church life. So where do you go? You start thinking, there's nothing better than this. Maybe I should end it all. Maybe it's not worth living, because you've lost every bit of hope in all of those areas. And that's what Abraham. And the curious thing about him was he was always reading and trying to do these self-help books and always say those things are great. But when you get to the point that Abraham was, or at the point where you are suffering repeatedly from the traumatic effects of your childhood, you need professional help.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to talk with our listeners a little bit more about self-help programs. Now, in this case study, you're absolutely right. You mentioned that Abraham did try self-help. He tried to get books and tried to do it himself. Do you find that there's a problem with people trying to help themselves, or going to seminars or going to the library or the bookstore, getting books and trying to help themselves through these situations? Is that always a bad thing to do?
I think by and large, self-help books and seminars are great. But we're talking about pathological problems. And there are so many books out and so many different versions. Man, you can really run yourself ragged and you're trying to fix yourself. Like a physician gets sick or a doctor gets sick, they don't go and operate on themselves. You need an expert or somebody with a lot more specialty and experience. And so while I will not ever bash self-help books, they are good in conjunction with professional help. I mean, some of us go to school for long periods of time and get real trained in these areas. And I can read a book and it may make me more confused. Or I can read a book and I'll try this. And sometimes what you try is not exactly what you need. And there's variations of that. So great to read, but get help first.
Get help first. I think that's really an interesting point to make, because sometimes therapists, we feel like we can do it on our own. And with Abraham was embarrassed to go and get help, and so he was trying to do it on his own. But eventually he did move on to seek help from a doctor, and he decided to go see the doctor. And tell us what happened when he went to the doctor's office. What happened? I think you mentioned that he was prescribed drugs, of course, to help with his depression, and that the psychopharmaceuticals were helpful in the beginning. And this is a point that I thought was interesting. Let me just go ahead and get to this. Something that you mentioned in the book, you mentioned that typically when people are going through depression, and you mentioned chronic illnesses, that sometimes they forget to take their medicine. And although the medicine may have been helping, he would forget to take it. Tell us about that.
Well, let me preface by saying this first. And
okay.
You have no idea how many couples or individuals or people that I have worked with or am working with now, well, they'll go to a psychiatrist, psychologist, and they'll get prescribed antidepressants. and they'll be given something else. And they don't even go to their doctor. And so they'll be taking two or three different kinds of medications for depression or anxiety or whatever. And they oftentimes work against each other. So let me put a plug in first. Number one, in the African-American community, someone has told us and made us believe that getting professional help. Now, I know we've had a lot of social experiments done on us, but I have to tell you, those days are over. And for my African-American family, we have to go get help, and we have to throw off these labels that we can fix ourselves. That's number one. Number two, I always say start with your primary care physician. I just don't want people, I don't prescribe drugs at all. I'm not even licensed to do that. But even if I were, I would tell them, go to your doctor first, because there are some things that are hormonal and there are other things that are emotional. And when you go to a doctor, a psychiatrist, or someone that can prescribe medication, they're only going to look at one aspect. They're going to only look at the emotional aspect, and what you could be dealing with could be a hormonal aspect, a physical aspect that's creating the depression or the suicidal thoughts. So have them check you out first, because they do blood work, and that's the key. They do blood work, and then they can help regulate the prescriptions that for Zoloft or some type of antidepressant drug that you might be taking. So that it doesn't counteract, but they work in conjunction to make you feel better about yourself as far as the depression is concerned. Abraham was given an antidepressant, and then he stopped going to therapy, and then after a while, his depression worsened, and then he became suicidal, and that's when I met him. And he was taking two different kinds of depressant drugs, and they were not helping him.
Now, that is, I think, very vital and key for our listeners to understand, to seek help. And there's something that we're going to talk about, therapists, before we leave the show today. But before I go into that, there is something that I found very interesting as well in this case study. And that's why I'm really enjoying your book, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Journey from Childhood Trauma to Healing. In it, you said that he was taking the antidepressants, and of course, the antidepressants were assisting him with his depression, but you said in here it did little to address the underlying trauma that caused his depression.
Correct.
Is that what you find happens with many of your clients, that although the medications are helping to maybe make them feel better or helping them to cope, it's not addressing the issue?
I am just started working in the past 2 weeks with a soldier who just came back from Afghanistan, and he is suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, it is in this bad stage. He went to the VA hospital, and they didn't even talk with him. They didn't even do much other than give him some antidepressant medication. And he took it for a few days and started feeling out-of-body experience, loopy, all those kind of things. And so he stopped taking it, and he went back, and they wanted to give him stronger prescription or stronger doses of it. And when I met him beginning last week, I realized, just like in Abraham's case, that his underlying issue was not being addressed through the drugs. Here was a man from Afghanistan was suffering from guilt, shame, traumatic experience, watching people die in front of him, taking lives as a part of what the military demanded, nightmares. And so the depressant medication wasn't doing anything other than trying to keep his mood from going down, but it did nothing to address the traumatic stuff that was going on, just what happened with Abraham. And that's why I say, if you don't even know what's wrong with you other than you're feeling blue, you need to get some help, and so that we can get you in the best possible care as possible.
My. You know what, therapist, when we come back, I want to touch on that a little bit more, but I have one important question that I want to ask you, and I want my listeners to hear your answer to the question when we come back right here on the Marketing Pulpit. I'm your host, Sharon Bennett, along with my co-host, Therapist Ira Bates. Did you know you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit 5 days a week? That's right, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit. And if you own a business or if you're trying to get your name out there, go to our directory, www.marketingpulpit.com, and put your information in our directory. It is free, absolutely free, www.marketingpulpit.com. Today we're discussing the book, Messed Up and Don't Even Know It, The Drama from Childhood Trauma to Healing. This book was written by my co-host, Therapist Ira Lake, and we're discussing his case study number 4. And if you'd like to have this book, feel free to go and get it. You can go to Amazon.com, or you can also go to Therapist's website at empathic.com. Family Counseling Services is the name of his organization. Therapists, we've been talking about case study number 4, Abraham. I mentioned before we left on break that I wanted to ask you a very important question. This question I want my listeners to hear, and I want them to hear the answer. Most people don't think they have a problem. Most people think that they are okay, that they're just a little blue, a little moody. Therapist, please tell us, when should we seek help? What are symptoms that we see in ourselves or in our family members or in our coworkers that clue us in that it's time to seek help? What are some symptoms?
Well, there isn't. With just one symptom that you can say this is one fits all. They are a myriad of symptoms. It starts with the will to live, the will to fight. Every day is a fight just to do basic stuff. You need help. When you are in and out of relationships and they all seem to self-destruct after a couple of months, 6 months, that should tell you something. Get some help. When you are angry, upset, and you are becoming violent and destructive, both with yourself and it's now starting to be attached to other people, you need help. Go get it. When you are having problems, spirits are always somber and blue, or you're entertaining suicidal thoughts, get help. When you just don't know what's going on and you know something is not right emotionally, you're crying or bits of sadness and remorse, get some help. So there is no one thing that will fit all. It is any of those things. And the bottom line is, if you've lost your zest for life and your will to live and to accomplish, it's time to get some help.
Listeners, I hope you heard what therapist said today. Those are times, those situations, it's time to get help. And Abraham, therapist, finally realized that he needed help beyond the psychopharmaceuticals. He needed help beyond the best help books. He needed help beyond that. And he finally met you. And when he met you, I know it had to be a huge undertaking, because not only did you have to make him feel comfortable and safe, but you had to begin that tedious process of pulling back the layers and helping him to discover what was going on. Now, when you meet with your client, what is one of your main concerns with someone like Abraham or anyone that comes in? What is the main concern that you have when you start working with your clients? Is it the trust issue, them trusting you? Is it them, once they start reliving the trauma, it affecting their life worse? Or how do you go about even helping someone that has gone through so much for so many years?
Well, my first concern, particularly with Abraham, was his safety. When he started having, when he came to me and said he had begun having suicidal thoughts, I wanted to provide a safety net for him. And I noticed that he had told me that the medication for antidepressant was helping, but they were making him feel having these out-of-body experiences. And so after, you know, and we just started. I'm working with Abraham today. We just started dealing with his childhood trauma. There were so many things that we had to deal with first to get him stabilized before we can go back and deal with the real root of his issue. So my first couple of sessions, we were just providing safety. You could trust me. I'm here. Let's talk. And I did more listening, and I did a lot of questioning. And my first step was to get him back to his doctor so that they can get the antidepressant better regulated for his body so he didn't feel like he was taking too much and he was having out-of-body experiences, or too little where he felt like he was really still feeling suicidal. And it took a couple of months to get that, because there was a lot of blood work involved. And once that became stable, then my next step was to get him in support groups, because people need other people around them in order to keep them motivated. Once a week with me was not going to be sufficient. He needed to be in a weekly support group, and we helped him find and get into one. And so once he began to stabilize and we got rid of some of those other out front issues, now we have begun starting to deal with his trauma.
Wow, amazing. What I like about what you said is, too, that it wasn't just one thing. There were several things in play here. There was the doctor, going to the doctor, getting the blood test, finding out what's really going on. Is it hormonal? Is it, what is it? Getting great advice from your doctor, but then also the prescription that the doctor gave, making sure that he was taking those and that it was working with his body and not against what was going on with him. And then also the support group. So it sounds like you were encouraging him to be a part of not just one or two things, but many things that would help towards his healing.
That's the whole idea. The kind of counseling I do is I empower. Because if you rely on one person for everything or for what you need, you're going to be disappointed. You have to help people become self-empowered and enable, and so they are active participants in their recovery and their healing. I found that in my own case, and I pass that on to all my clients. And I'm not throwing away the self-help books. I'm not throwing away the medication. I'm not throwing away the group. I use a combination of things to help an individual, and each one is tailor-made for them. What will work for him will not work for another. You have to know what's out there. That's why I'm saying to a person who's just strictly going one thing and it's not working, you need to get some help. And we are trained to help people find the thing that helps them. We actually help them map out a progress plan, a plan of action, and we can see results immediately if they follow it. And that encourages them to do more.
And you know what? I love that. And to all my listeners, even if it's just one thing that you heard therapists say, if you find one thing in your life, your family life, or over life, get that therapist. If they want to contact you, if they want to know more, they want that personalized plan, how can they get in touch with you?
I would welcome a call at 714-376-8643, or go to my website, imtasik.org, and there are free information there, videos and all of that, and things specifically on trauma on their website.
Well, to all my listeners, my faithful listeners who tune in every week, you've been with me since day one. You are the best. And to all my new listeners, thank you for joining us here on the Marketing Pulpit. Well, our mission is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. Join us next week here on the Marketing Pulpit, along with my co-host, therapist, Ira Lake. You've been listening to the Marketing Pulpit. I am your host, Sharon Bennett.